Yesterday we brought you the news that 61 staff from the Belfast Health and Social Care Trust are in Amsterdam this week. Well, today we're bringing you the cost, £85,000. That's according to the Belfast Trust. Also this morning, we can reveal that in total, there are 104 staff from trusts across Northern Ireland at the event in the city famous for canals, bikes and lost weekends. And the cost is mounting. So far, £117,500. And it is rising. They're all off to the International Forum on Quality and Safety in Healthcare. We've been looking at the brochure. It's a very nice brochure for the event, which has been going for 23 years. It says, supporting and energising the movement for health and healthcare improvement by presenting the best of new thinking and work from around the world. And tonight, it's the Night Forum. Now, we are not suggesting for one moment that they are swinging lead. We do know that people attending such conferences work hard, and networking is an important aspect to such events. So let's have a flick through the brochure, a little bit more of it, to see what's on tonight. In fact, it promises an evening of networking, further learning and entertainment. Relax, they say, and connect with colleagues while exploring unique venues in Amsterdam. Joining me this morning is GP George O'Neill and the NI Conservative Frank Shivers. Good morning to you both.
Good morning.
Dr. O'Neill, your thoughts on this, first of all.
Well, I think you've overplayed your hand there. It turned almost suggesting that this is a junket that they're going to be enjoying.
I did not use that phrase. Right.
No, sorry. Now, Vinny, come on. The music, all the topic. This is a very important conference. This is a biannual conference, and this looks at quality, health and safety. 150 speakers from 80 countries, all talking about innovation and health and healthcare. And also those from products, they're actually presenting and taking part in the conference. Now, this is one way of picking up practical ideas, research. It looks at safety, it looks at innovation. And I am absolutely clear, Vinny, our health and social care system needs an embedded commitment to quality improvement.
Come on, Dr. Neil. Now, you know, this is 2018, and this is streamed on the internet, and there, some will say there's no reason why a chunk, if not all of those 104, could not watch this from home.
The keynote speakers are streamed on the internet. There are so many different groups in this, and look at all the areas covered. Safety, quality, cost, value, person-centred care, population health, public health. It looks at leadership. I agree it's all published afterwards, but at the moment, what is streamed will be the keynote speakers.
Okay.
Not the other thing. Now, look, Vinny, this is really crucially important.
It is, exactly.
We have to look at how we can attract and retain staff. And one of the ways of doing it is to look at quality improvement. And I can give you examples of quality improvement that's occurred as a result of these contacts. For example, Belfast Trust. They have built up a very good relationship with Healthcare Improvement Scotland that has resulted in the people from Scotland coming across here and bringing their skills to our people here.
Do you believe that 61 people, for example, from the Belfast Trust is a sufficient number? Is that fine? Is that okay? Or could
details how they were picked. What I do know is, Vinny, they are a mixture of consultants, trainee doctors, nurses, allied health professionals, support workers, managers, social workers, quality improvement leads. These people will come back, and these will be the leadership who will deliver the transformation, reconfiguration and service change we need in our health and
Let me read something to you, Dr. O'Neill. Right, this is from a letter, 2016, the 27th of September, that was sent from the Permanent Secretary for the Department of Health, Richard Pengelly, right? And this was sent out and in terms of costs and travel and charges. And there's a line in here which says justification. Under that, all travel must represent value for money, taking account also of the cost of time spent away from the office, and not give grounds for public criticism. It then goes on to say alternative arrangements. When considering a case for overseas travel, staff will be asked to consider alternative arrangements such as conferencing or video calling. Now, do you think, have they maybe caused an issue? This has been sent to them from the Permanent Secretary to tell them how they should and shouldn't spend money.
Well, I mean, personally, looking at this, I think this is value for money. This is really an international conference where we will pick up lots of very practical ideas. We will improve things here, and the people who go will do it by speaking to and listening to experts, innovators and risk takers right across the world. And hopefully they'll bring some of the stuff back here and improve. And when you talk about quality improvement, Vinny, it's simple. It's better care for our population. It's improving health outcomes. And it's getting better value for money.
But that's, you know, as well, George, and I know we've asked you to come on and you're getting a bit of a tough time, but you understand when it comes to, for example, the health service, we know how much financial pressure is on that and how everything that affects it can affect, for example, waiting lists. And then when you hear this, 117,085 of that within one trust, it is a lot of money. Like, we could go down the line of saying, well, how many hip operations could that pay for? How many broken arms? How many flu jabs?
I can give you example. For example, one of the examples is, it was on television recently, the orthopaedic mega clinics, the one-stop shop. That came as a result of quality improvement. The Belfast Trust has reduced the number of patient falls, reduced pressure sores. These are things that save money. You have to invest to save money. And literally, the people going across here are the future leaders, the cold-faced leaders. Our system lacks cold-faced leaders. They will come back, cascade the information to their colleagues, and ensure that we can deliver the transformation that's needed. And okay, if we don't do this, Vinny, we'll go from crisis to crisis.
Okay. 030-30-80-55-55. Frank Shivers, what do you think?
Well, I think George spins it very well, but I think any right-thinking person will see it as a junket, and the perception will be that it is a junket. There's no doubt that we need training and we need advancement in our NHS. And I sort of disagree with him when he says, you know, we need coal-faced leaders. No, we need doctors and nurses to treat our people. And these sort of admin-type people and managers swanning off to Amsterdam, it's just an absolute nonsense. I mean, look at the cost of it. And it could be done in a hotel in Belfast where you invite those 100-odd people, and whatever is specific to their skills, it can be televised or on the computer. So there's absolutely no need for so many of them to go across. And I also think, Vinny, it's no coincidence that the Belfast Trust continually, with the biggest budget, continually fails to achieve that budget and has significant overspends. So, you know, this is the type of thing that really gets up my goat. And I think generally everybody in Northern Ireland gets up their goat, because it's just a waste of money.
We should say at this point, the Southern Trust have sent three people, and we don't have a figure for them. And the Western Trust have sent 14 members of staff, but we don't have a financial figure for them either. So Southeastern Trust, 17 staff are away to this, just under 16 grand that's going to cost. 61, of course, for the Belfast Trust, 85 grand. The Northern Trust have sent 9, it's just over 15 grand. Department of Health have sent one person on this, just under 15. The entire health service, is there not a more joined up approach, Dr. O'Neill, that they could have taken? You'd almost read that and think they don't speak to each other.
Well, they do. But look, if you look at the way we're set up, I mean, if you had one single trust, you could probably deliver that. But what we have at present, we have different needs in different areas. Rural trusts have different needs from the urban trust. We have different population. For example, the Northern Trust has the greatest number of elderly people in it. So there's different needs in different trusts, and there's different emphasis. And I agree with you. Probably if we had a single trust, it might be easier to do. But I am clear. I am absolutely emphatic about this. This is value for money. This brings back innovators. It brings back different ways of thinking. It is a staging post to show Northern Ireland, to try and attract people to come here. And it also is a way of exchanging best practice. And I would support it 100%. Now, and when you look at the numbers, I mean, it's about less than, 1% of the number of people who are employed by the Belfast Trust. It's a small number of people. And in the totality of the spend on health and social care, which is over 5 billion, this is small beer.
And
if it brings back savings, Vinny, And if George, it improves health outcomes
respect,
for our population,
that's the problem with
good.
The NHS in Northern Ireland. There's people in the healthcare service going, oh, we've billions of pounds to spend. What's another couple of hundred thousand here and there? Well, that's the attitude that has got us in the situation
but
that we are in.
No,
Ireland.
No. I disagree.
Sorry, that's Frank, but do continue, Frank, and then George will let you respond.
Okay, sorry, okay.
Thank you. I mean, that is why we are in the situation that we are in Northern Ireland, because of that attitude. Oh, a couple of hundred thousand pounds here and there doesn't really matter in the scope of 5 or 4.5 billion pounds that we get from a block grant from Westminster to prop up our NHS system. I fully agree with you. I think we need one single trust for Northern Ireland. We're published at 1.7 million. It's an absolute farce.
Well, that's a discussion maybe for another day. But Frank, what about the issue that Dr. O'Neill has highlighted there in terms of what we can learn and the need to attract people to come here as well?
You know, absolutely not a problem with that, Vinny.
Well, when you look at it in that, and I know we are talking money and comparisons are maybe unfair, but 117,500 compared to the huge amount of money that we spend on our health here, you know, is it possibly, could I convince you or could George convince you that it may actually be money well spent?
No, I think what would have been money well spent is if the trusts got together and said, right, we're going to send two representatives for health and safety. We're going to send two representatives for XYZ, and they will come back and feed. Their goal will be to glean as much information and come back and bring that information back to the professionals in Northern Ireland. They don't all need to go out and you know, witness it themselves. We just need competent people to go out, retain that information and bring it back to the individual trusts. Would have been a far more economical way of doing it.
Okay, let's bring in some phone calls at this point. Diane in Dunmurry. Good morning, Diane.
Oh, good morning, Vinny. Yes, I think possibly they should go in view of the letters, the bombshell letters we got this week about Dr. Watt at the neurology department in RVH. That's a bombshell and a half for a family member.
Yeah.
And it's really appalling. I haven't slept a wink.
Did you receive one of those letters yourself?
Oh, yes, for a family member. Yes, indeed. Diagnosed last year by Dr. Watt. I actually didn't like what he said about his further treatment, and I took him privately to another consulting neurologist at the Ulster Clinic. But he was a colleague of Dr. Watt, you see.
Well,
now we know his colleagues knew about him.
No, well, let's not, because I don't know that, and we are not aware of that, Diane, so let's just stay on this topic.
Okay, please,
just on a live radio programme. What about this trip to Amsterdam that people are, you know, there's 61 from the Belfast Trust, 104 altogether from our health trusts across Northern Ireland in Amsterdam at this conference?
Yes.
What do you think?
Well, I think if they go and it improve outcomes for people, I think they should go. That's my opinion, because we need outcomes improved, obviously need them improved, in view of this bombshell that we got this week.
Okay.
Monday.
All right, Diane, thank you. Let's go to Fred and Dromore. Good morning, Fred.
Hello there.
What do you think?
Well, I think the problem is these junkets are all right. But if it
Stop.
Goes,
say, back, I did not say it's a junket. Now, you're describing it as a junket.
That's okay. I say go and go back and improve the thing, but with the consultations and the inquiries, and the whole thing's no better going than it was years ago. Some years ago, there was an article in the Belfast Telegraph, and it said there are approximately 11,000 or 12,000 frontline workers, i.e. nurses and doctors, and there's about 15,000 to 16,000 administrators. And that's where the problem lies.
Well, I'm not aware of those numbers. But going to something like this, where it's such a huge event, you've heard how Dr. O'Neill has talked about it and how important it is. You know, this could be an opportunity for people to go and learn.
Yes. Go and learn what? But then how can they apply it if there's no frontline staff to apply it? I mean, if you had a car broken down or something not going well, you could hold a consultation on. But if you don't give somebody to do anything about it, you're no better off. And we've seen that with all the various reports and consultations that have been over this last years from, I think, and the start of transforming your care. Things are not getting any better. We know that.
Okay, Fred, thank you. Dee in Belfast. Good morning, Dee.
Good morning.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's perhaps a sound investment. If the total was, I don't know, a lot of numbers been thrown around, but if it was somewhere around 150,000 in total, if the trusts were coming back and perhaps in 6 months or so issuing a report which told the people, we went to the conference, we learned these things, here are the things we have implemented following the course, and here's a programme of change that we're going to implement. And surely if that's bringing best practice, innovation, transformation into our health service, that can only be a good thing if it's done and if it actually, if they're given the follow-on investment to make these things happen.
Just a line here from the Belfast Trust. They say attendees are from all directorates across the Trust, and there is a full mix of professional groups, including doctors, nurses, social workers, managers, directors. Several of the party are attending to present their improvement work as part of their project. Project posters, and they were submitted and selected by the IHI to be displayed. This investment will significantly add to the Belfast Trust and will equip staff with skills, ideas and contacts to make improvements to the services that we deliver. So that all sounds very positive, Dee. So from that, you might think, well, do you know what? Maybe this is worth it.
I think in principle I'd agree, because as we often here on the Nolan Show and other programmes, our health service is in a state of slight disrepair. We see it this week with the Dr. Watt scandal, fiasco, call it what you will. And it only proves that our health service needs radical thinking, it needs change, it has to be improved for the people of Northern Ireland. We're a relatively small population, and we keep getting battered and bashed with poor service. So if this is an investment being put back into the health service, I think it can be a good thing. And one other thing, if I may, is the pressure, therefore, that our health professionals are under, is massively unfair to them as human beings. So at the end of the day, if they're going to an international conference to learn, to develop, to bring their skills forward, to bring their thinking forward, you know, as a slight release of that pressure, to take them to Amsterdam, to help them learn, to help them develop, give them a nice meal, bring them home.
All 104 of them.
Well, I think that's the point, Vinny. Vinny, that's the point. That nobody is debating this is valuable in the training and the knowledge that these people will get. It's the amount of people that are going that is disproportionate to and the cost of it is just...
104 people versus the total number of people involved in healthcare in Northern Ireland surely must be a relatively small number.
Let's go to Peter in, I don't know where you are, Peter. Good morning. Says Peter in Northern Ireland by your name, so I'll assume you're here somewhere.
Good morning. Yes, I'm just travelling through Belfast at the moment.
Good morning, Peter.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. Go ahead.
Okay, so I've been listening to the comments made by a number of your speakers. I'm calling you as a nurse of 30 years standing, most of which has been spent in intensive care and accident emergency. I've also worked for the ambulance service and so on. I think one of the comments that is being missed, the politician particularly, I didn't catch his name, unfortunately, seems to have very limited insight into the importance of networking within healthcare and getting new ideas from international ideas and bringing them back.
Well, his name is Frank Shivers. He's from the NI Conservatives. Tell him why you think this is important and a good thing.
At the end of the day, you know, a wise man learns from the personal experience of others in addition to personal experience of himself. And you look at, you know, the world is a shrinking place, but there are different healthcare challenges faced in different parts of the world. And when you get the opportunity to network, I've traveled and worked internationally on a number of occasions, and there are different practices that are innovative in different parts of the world, and they cover every different area of practice. So to send one or two people, every different group of healthcare professionals has a different perspective on both information they require,
okay,
and information they can share.
Why do you think, Peter, for example, then, and I know there is a difference in size within the Trust, within the people and the number of people that they treat, but for example, the Belfast Trust are sending 61 people to this, the Northern Trust are sending 9, the Southern Trust are sending 3. There's a huge difference in the figures there.
Well, I would have to direct that question back to the Trust and justify their figures, but from certainly the information that came across, there's been a lot of work gone into selecting people to go. I think, you know, if people want to look, the public need to ask themselves the questions about the overstretch on healthcare resources. Yes, the NHS has been underfunded since it was developed back in the late 40s, early 50s. It's always been on a back foot regarding funding. But you look at the amount of money that is spent, for example, by all manners of healthcare organisation over a weekend in Northern Ireland due to alcohol-related issues from the ambulance service, from A&E, worn-out stays and wards. I think you'll be quite surprised by those figures. That's the kind of place we need to really look at making savings.
If we look at this, George, in terms of proportion, about 66 million or so in the UK, 7.8 roughly in Northern Ireland, 5.5 if you go for all of Ireland. if you then kind of work it out from that, you would have 4,000 going from the UK, 500 from Ireland North and South, and 104 from Northern Ireland that we do have. So does that make it sound like quite a high number, considering how small Northern Ireland is?
Well, I honestly don't think so. When you look at the breadth of what's on offer, when you look at the number of speakers, the number of events, the way it's laid out, this is a very intense 3-day program with innovation coming from, 80 different countries. And I think I looked up a figure. I think there's about 170, 180 people going from Scotland. And Wales are sending people. Are we going to sit here and sort of look at our umbilicus and think we can work this thing without going around
the world? I've not been myself, and I don't know what will really happen. You said there about it being quite an intense event, but when you read from this brochure, you know, what's on tonight? What do they call it?
That's one
the night.
But a night forum.
I mean, you describe it as an evening of networking, further learning and entertainment, and connect with colleagues while exploring unique venues in Amsterdam.
Vinny, I have been on meetings like that. That's where you make the contacts. That's where you exchange business cards. That's where you get people's phone numbers. That's where you can end up inviting people across here, or they invite you to go to them to bring your ideas and your innovation. This is crucial to the success of any meeting. And the money spent, if this people will come back here and what the ideas they bring back will save significant amounts of money. So I would anticipate the $85,000 spent by the Belfast Trust will bring back ideas and innovation that will save significant amounts of money. But more importantly, it'll improve patient care. We'll get better outcomes and we'll get better value for money.
Okay. Sean in Enniskillen. Good morning, Sean.
Vinny, I listened to George and he sounds very reasonable. Great respect for him. But I work in the health service too. And I used to get phone calls maybe 6 a year. There's a course on. Will you go to it? And I said, it's nothing to do with me. We need to make up the numbers. And that went on year after year after year. I would have suggested that it would have been best for the department to have sent a group for them then to come back here and gather together these 100, 150, whatever.
104.
Plus the rest from the rest of the trust. And pass the message on. That would have been efficiency.
Well, the plan, and the trusts have told us as well, you know, all staff attending will present their learning and ideas to colleagues back in the trust when they return, which is quite similar to what's in a template letter from this course, which says, I will share, take away with our team, including my learnings from the variety of projects that will be displayed as posters.
Wouldn't it be lovely, Vinny?
Yes.
If we were able to get 106 doctors, GPs coming back here, and some of them coming to Fermanagh.
Okay. Sean, thank you. Some very strong opinions there. Let's bring it up to the news with some gentle music. George O'Neill, Dr. George O'Neill, thank you very much. And Frank Shivers, thank you as well.